Later that day, Saturday, Ron was led from the jail to the police station for another interview. Smith and Rogers, back from their thrilling arrest of Fritz, were waiting. Their goal was to make him talk. The interrogation had been planned since the day before the arrest. The Dreams of Ada had just been published, and there was criticism of the methods of Smith and Rogers. They decided that Smith, who lived in Ada, should be replaced by Rusty Featherstone, who lived in Oklahoma City. They also decided not to use video. Dennis Smith was in the building but stayed away from the interview room. After leading the investigation for over 4 years and believing for much of that time that Williamson was guilty, he nonetheless avoided the crucial interrogation. The Ada Police Department was well stocked with audio and video equipment, and it was frequently used. Interrogations, and especially confessions, were almost always recorded on tape. The police were quite aware of the powerful impact of showing a confession to a jury. Ask Ward and Fontenot. Ron's second polygraph 4 years earlier had been taped by Featherstone at the Ada Police Department. When confessions were not recorded on video, they were often taken by audio. The police had plenty of tape recorders. And when neither audio nor video was used, the suspect was usually asked to write, if he could in fact read and write, his own version of what happened. If the suspect happened to be illiterate, then a detective would write the statement, read it back to the defendant, and ask him to sign it. None of these methods were used on May 9th. Williamson, who was quite literate and had a much wider vocabulary than either of his two interrogators, watched as Featherstone took notes. He said he understood his Miranda rights and agreed to talk. The police version reads as follows. Williamson said, "Okay, December the 8th, 1982, I was hanging out at the Coach Light frequently, and I was there one night looking at a girl, a pretty girl, and thought I should follow her home." Williamson paused, then acted as if he wished to say something that started with the letter F, but then paused again. Then he continued, "Thought, what if something bad would happen that night?" and followed her home. Williamson then paused and talked about when he stole a stereo. Williamson then said, "I was with Dennis, and we went to the Holiday Inn and told a girl that we had a bar in our car and got her, and she jumped." Williamson talked in sporadic phrases, and Agent Rogers asked Williamson to concentrate and get back to talking about the Debbie Carter case. Williamson said, "Okay, I had a dream about killing Debbie, was on her, had a cord around her neck, stabbed her frequently, pulled the rope tight around her neck." Williamson said, "I'm worried about what this will do to my family." And then he said, "My mother is dead now." Agent Rogers asked Williamson if he and Dennis were there that night, and Williamson answered, "Yes." Agent Featherstone asked Williamson, "Did you go there with the intention to kill her?" Williamson responded, "Probably." Agent Featherstone asked, "Why?" Williamson responded, "She made me mad." Agent Featherstone asked, "How do you mean? Mean to you? A bitch?" Williamson responded, "No." Williamson paused briefly, then said, "Oh my God, you can't expect me to confess. I've got my family. I've got my nephew to protect. My sister, it will tear her up. It can't hurt my mother now since she is dead. It's been on my mind since it happened." At about 1938 hours, Williamson said, "If you're going to try me on this, I want Tanner in Tulsa. No, I want David Morris." The mention of a lawyer spooked the detectives, and they stopped the confession. They called David Morris, who instructed them to stop interrogating Ron immediately. The statement was not signed by Ron. It was never shown to him.